We are joined by State Representative, House District 84, John Frullo, and my former Young Republican friend and treasurer when I was a county Republican chairman. We go back a long way. John's been chairman of several committees in the legislature and is was named as one of this group of older, more influential representatives by some of the press today. And John, you are looking a little old, but I didn't like some of the descriptions I saw, made me feel old too. But you and a group of others, there were several people doing this, individual and group wise, put out a statement saying you just didn't have any. Well, Bonner needs to go as speaker. He's you know, his perfidy blew his trust with everyone. This has been a trying time for members because everything they do, their whole career is all centered around where the power centers are, who's speaker, who's chairman. Nobody wanted to mess with it. I guess I've got one question. I want to ask you about the mood of members and why you put out the statement you did. But first, I want to ask this question. You may not have an answer to it. It's the one I'm wondering. Why did we go through this retreat business and put out this milquetoast, mealy-mouthed, horribly written statement down there on the weekend? And people asked Bonin to withdraw his offer to resign deal in the meeting. And then over the next 2 or 3 days, people start saying, well, I can't handle it anymore, and then letting it go about this way. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, but the show isn't long enough to talk about all of them, Robert. And of course, I want to back up a little bit. I prefer the term long-serving to old.
And, okay.
You talk about and that probably would work better for you, too. So
yeah, I don't know. I don't mind being old. I feel it, so that's okay.
But, you know, I think that there's a lot of things going on. First off, let's take a step back in time as far as, you know, we all know what's happened. You've done a good job of telling your listeners what's happening, what's going on, what's in the recording. You've had guests on and so forth. So I don't want to rehash all of that. But what happened at that meeting was, you know, and that was something that was scheduled a while back. It's something that we've done every year to get together.
Caucus retreat,
Well, camaraderie, to talk about issues, to learn about polling, you know, different things. Facebook, social media, newest things. So there's a lot that goes on there. So we're together. At that meeting, it was brought up by several individuals that was the first time that they really had a chance to sit down and visit with each other, you know. Face-to-face and talk. And so you've got an exchange of ideas. And as you said, there's a lot that goes into this. You've been involved with it for a long time. You know what it takes to run what it does. You know, when the rest of your family is going on a vacation and you're staying back to go to that retreat slash convention slash whatever it is, you know, there's a lot of that that goes on, and you build friendships with folks. And, you know, one day you're battling on the same side they are, and the next day you're battling against them. And so putting that all in perspective, there's a lot going on. You're emotionally invested. You're financially invested. Your time is invested. You know, there's a lot going on there. And so to say, you know, when people say, well, you met and you were together for a while, you should have had an answer. Well, you can't come up with an answer that affects, you know, 150 people and the, you know, roughly 80 Republicans that were there in just what was deemed to be 45 minutes. And I think that shows a little insight into what all happened.
I thought the idea they were going to discuss this for 45 minutes was absurd to begin with. That turned into 4 hours. But you really answered the question when you said that for a lot of members, this was the first time they've had time because, you know, they're back home running their businesses. This is the first time at the retreat they actually got to sit down and start coalescing, visiting with each other and coalescing an opinion. So maybe that's why they weren't ready to act at that point.
Well, we weren't ready from that, and nor were we ready for what Speaker Bonin came out with,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the way that was worded and what all it was. It sort of caught us, you know, one of the members there said it best, it caught us flat-footed. It was not something that we were expecting, mm-hmm. you know, so we went through that. We talked about it. We decided that, you know, and in some cases we were talking about what are the options, what happens when you have a speaker that is gone, what happens? Well, you know, we now know, you know, it's not automatically that the speaker pro tem takes over.
No.
Currently, the speaker pro tem is Joe Moody,
Democrat,
out of El Paso.
Democrat. Yeah.
Right. So what would happen would, you know, is how does Joe serve? Well, Joe serves at the pleasure of the speaker. You know, primarily has functions to do while we're in session. But, you know, it's been expanded constitutionally. I'm not sure that the speaker pro tem is even written about. Having said that, so there's certain duties and functions that would fall on to the chairman of House Administration, you know, all the way up to her. In some cases, there's been discussion that things that are supposed to happen just don't happen. There's nobody to okay it.
So right, are a bunch of things that have been adopted over the many decades that that's why they're called the Big Three. You know, they're automatically members of certain bodies and decisions and, you know, like moving money around and things. When the legislature's not in session, there's a bunch of things that the speaker is involved in along with the lieutenant governor and the governor. If the speaker's chair is vacant, I guess the House just wouldn't have a vote in those committees.
Well, and see, that's some of the issues. You hit it right on the head. It's like, okay, so we really, as we start digging into this, it's like, okay, this, what do we do? This doesn't happen. We've had certain cases where, you know, one thing's happened or another, and, you know, and of course, Dean Craddock and even John Smithy have talked a little bit about what's happened in the past. But, you know, we don't want to sit there and get into a situation where we can't even get out of it. You know,
in other words, make the situation's bad enough, but we can make it, let's put it this way, practically bad, operationally bad, separate from the politics by being a little bit too, a little bit acting too quickly or without thinking.
Exactly. Well, it's not without thinking, it's without knowing all the facts.
Without looking at what could happen, the unintended consequences.
Exactly.
All right, let me ask you this question because I know you're busy and have things to do, and I do appreciate you getting down on the ground and calling us. I want to ask this question. What, just from your perspective, the little notice you and some other guys put out together, all senior members of the caucus, put out a statement, I guess, yesterday about losing faith, you know, one of these no confidence statements. Your comments about why you chose to put your name on such a thing.
Well, I think first off, you know, it was difficult to do, you know, and I don't want to downplay that at all. Again, Dennis has been a good friend. Dennis did an unbelievable job running the 86th legislature.
I think so too.
You know, there's a lot of great things that were done. You know, as you've mentioned in the past a number of times, we're never happy with everything. Overall, we got tax things that, you know, that we hadn't been able to do. And, you know, we did a lot for public education. There were certain things for economic development, flood mediation, even disaster preparedness. I was texting back and forth today with the mayor of Dallas, who we served with until he went on to become mayor in the House, and he was talking about some of the things and how that was going to work. So, you know, we accomplished a lot. We had a great session, and so I don't want to take away from that. Plus, as I said, Dennis is all of our friends. You know, we've worked with him. We've worked with him for, you know, five sessions now, for the five of us, and so we felt it was necessary given the mood and the mode of the House that, and primarily driven a lot with uncertainty. What is going to happen? What happens here? What do we do? And so driven with that, we felt it was important to, one, go and speak with Dennis face to face. You know, and that was something that we ended up doing. We set up a meeting. We had that meeting, again, just like the House caucus meeting. It lasted a lot longer than we thought it would. When we got done, we felt that, you know, we wanted to, and we had that statement. We told the Speaker Bondman that we were going to issue that statement. And it was amazing. You talk about what happened in the House, what people thought. People were calling us up and telling us, one, how difficult they knew that had to have been, and secondly, just thank you, because now it doesn't give us the exact roadmap on how to do it, but it's somewhat a pathway that we can start working on. We don't have the answers, but at least we have a plan.
Well, it's self-healing. I mean, the scandal with the speaker is solved by the, you know, not all the operational things. Does he stay and remain as speaker through the end of his term? You know, whatever, that's to be seen. But it seems like it gets everybody past the scandal by Bonin saying he's not running for re-election to his seat. So I want to ask you real quickly, because we're already pushing back, we're going to have to go, but I want to ask you about the real root of it. I mean, forget all the personalities and how everybody wants to scapegoat this, that, and the other. The fact of the matter is, Bonin told members one thing over and over and publicly made a big deal about not opposing members, and then privately was not just doing it in that meeting, but now we know that he was doing it even on the day he made some of those statements to the press way back. It's just a matter of loss of personal trust, isn't it, that makes it hard to be a speaker?
Well, I think so. And we said that we had a loss of trust and of confidence. And, you know, right. That is the House. And that's one of the things we need to heal. And we also need to get to make sure that we keep a Republican speaker next session.
Right. Very good. I want a conservative Republican speaker. So there you go, John. Now's your time to announce your running.
No, thank you.
I knew that's what Frullo would say. No, thank you. Don't need an apartment in the Capitol. Got enough to do. John Frullo, House District 84. Thanks for taking the time. We really appreciate your candid comments on the issue today. Be well.
As always, thank you, Robert.